Hey, game friends, GM John here. Ravenloft Tiny Terrors is a spooky, silly podcast that may contain scenes that aren't appropriate for all listeners. As always, all specific content warnings for each episode can be found in the episode descriptions. We're using the Sword and Sorcery Ravenloft books from the early 2000s, as well as the Pathfinder First Edition role-playing system to play this game. This podcast was actually recorded before Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft for a 5th edition was printed, so if you're using that book, things will be a little different here. In lieu of referring you to books that may be out of print, if you want to learn more about Ravenloft and the background of the podcast's world, make certain to check out the Fraternity of Shadows, home of Ravenloft on the internet, at www.fraternityofshadows.com. With no further ado, we hope you enjoy the show. And welcome, game friends, to the Real Play Games podcast, a podcast where I, your game master, John, run my friends through a variety of tabletop role-playing games, some of them fairly popular and some of them pretty obscure. Today is actually going to be our 11th episode of Ravenloft Tiny Terrors. Rue, Harm, how are you feeling about how far in you are?
It feels dangerous to be a child in the Nightmare Lands.
Yeah.
As a player. Iffy's pretty stoked, though, so...
This wants to be home.
Well, speaking of being children, after their journey to the City of Nod last episode, the halflings managed to find not only the Ghost Dancer's Theater, where they rescued Tox to herself's dream self and were attacked by the undead that were packing the theater, but they also managed to recover what was left of the monocle that Dr. Stella Canaveri had with her at the Spire of Sleep, after, of course, defeating her and taking their gold back from her as well. Then they journeyed to the ghettos, where they were transformed by the evil witch Malonga into children, where they find themselves presently being chased by large domesticated cats.
Are they average-sized cats?
These cats look to be about the size of mountain lions. One of them is calico-colored, and the other one is all black.
And they seem to be like just normal cats.
They look like large cats with the coloration of normal domestic house cats.
Gosh, I wish I had a can with quarters in it right now.
Just shake your keys at them.
They are perched on the rooftops in this very narrow alleyway that you have found yourselves traveling back down. And once again, you are much smaller now. What did the two of you do?
Is there any place to go?
At this point, you can try and flee them, but you don't know how fast they are relative to you or your dogs, because you are both very whittle now.
And our dogs can still carry us.
They can. Your dogs are, again, much younger looking. They look much more puppyish, but you are also small.
I'm going to get on the dog.
Should we just try and run?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, are they medium-sized, the cats?
They seem large. They're bigger than your dogs.
Oh, so they might be faster than our dogs. Maybe we should set some of them on fire or something. Cats are cowards.
I don't have fire.
I have alchemist fire.
Wait, I have ice.
How many cats are there?
Or does I'm going to throw ice?
There's two of them prowling down the rooftops towards you.
Oh, two? Are they in throwing range?
Not currently. If you moved, you could get into range to throw something at them. But yeah, if you want to engage them, we'll roll for initiative because everybody's very much aware of where everyone else is.
Engage them or run. I also have oil. I could throw oil at them and then you could throw alchemist fire.
I think we need to run.
Okay, we get on our dogs and run?
Yes.
Okay.
Because cats hate chasing things that run.
It turns out, and you discover relatively quickly, these cats are faster than your smaller dogs.
Uh-oh.
As you're about halfway down this alleyway, and what leads to what looks like a crossroads, They pounce down, and let's roll for initiative at this point, because they are close enough that they can get you.
I got a 15.
Jesus. 6.
Oh, no.
Yay, I get to go before somebody then. Iffy, you go up first.
Okay, can I slide off my dog?
Mm-hmm.
How close are they?
At this point, they're within about 50 feet of you.
There's debris around us, right?
Yeah, one would assume there's some rough pieces of debris or crumbled buildings or the like around here.
Okay, I'm going to throw a piece of debris at one of them with my telekinesis.
Are you going to move close enough that you can do so? You'd have to move in 20 feet to do that.
Yeah, why not?
So go ahead and make your attack roll then. And are you attacking the calico one or are you attacking the black one?
Which one's closest?
They're equidistant.
Okay. Is one like on the right or the left?
Yeah, the black one would be to your right and the calico one would be to your left. Calico one is perched on top of what looks like a little eave and the black one is on the ground.
Okay, I'm going to stick to the one on the right.
Okay.
And I'm going to stick to the right so that you can take the one on the left. Because presumably you're a righty, so that gives you more swing and room. For a 22 attack?
Yep, I will let you know when a 22 does not hit.
For 16 points of damage.
As it is starting to come towards you, you lift up a chunk of masonry that has crumbled to the ground and fling it towards the black-colored large cat. And you hammer it directly in the side of the head. It reels backwards for a few moments and looks stunned. Lupo, you see the one that is on top of the eave leap off of the eave and come dashing towards you.
Oh no, I get very angry.
Its entire mouth fits around your shield as it tries to bite at you, but you get your shield up at the last moment.
I picture a cat when it bites something like your finger is like
yeah.
Oh well, it tries with one paw to swipe along the side of you where your shield isn't able to protect you, but you lift your arm up and shift your shield. As you're doing so, you lodge the shield further inside of its mouth and it starts freaking out, and instead of hitting you, it bats at the shield with its other paw trying to free its mouth from it. I rolled a 1 on one of the claw attacks, so
oh, no.
Even with pounce, I can't hurt you guys. That's fantastic.
Do I need to make a ride check to stay on, or?
No, none of its hits were successful.
Cool.
Yeah, that was just me reflecting how badly it biffed. I rolled a 6, a 6, and a 1.
Winner's numbers.
Iffy, having been attacked by you, the black one yowls in rage and launches itself towards you. And Iffy, what is your armor class?
My armor class is a 21.
I hate you guys so much right now. Oh my God.
I'm so little.
So I got a 19 with the charge.
Oh, that's not even a bad roll.
No, I had a 10 plus 9 on the charge. So as it tries to launch itself forward like a black streak and snaps at you, where you are suddenly is where you aren't as you take a step to the side and its jaws lunge past you. Unfortunately, one of its claws comes up and rakes across your body.
Oh no.
Ooh, it slashes at your exposed skin as you take 7 points of damage, Iffy, right along the side of your thigh.
I can take like 10 more of those without concern.
It rolls a little bit as it catches you with one of its claws and tries to hit you with its other claw.
Of course it does.
Alas, my 6s are rolling hot tonight. You manage to pull yourself away from its claw. It hurts a little bit, but it saves you from the other claw that comes in just a second afterwards.
Like, bad kitty, bad.
Oh, Iffy, you also didn't have your dog make an action, so I'll let you do that as Lupo is taking his turn.
Yeah, my dog would have been holding for him to get into range, so.
Well, you're there.
Yeah, so my dog will attack now that he's in range.
I'm going to go into a rage.
The dog rolled a 17 and then has a plus 12.
Yeah, 29's good to hit. So as Lupo starts foaming at the mouth, your dog leaps up and bites at the one that had just attacked you.
12 plus trip.
Okay, well, as your dog goes to trip the black-colored mountain lion-looking cat, he rips the back leg of it off in his teeth, and you're treated to the sight of this puppyish-looking dog tearing the back leg off of this animal. That great cat goes down with nary a fight other than scratching you once. Luco, you're raging. You've got a large calico cat trying to maul you right now.
Yeah, I'm just so mad. This day is not coming out like I want it to be. I want to go home. If we just got hit, 16?
Yes, on the money.
For 5?
So as you are looking up at this thing that is desperately trying to, first off, extricate its jaws from your shield, but also scratch at you wildly, you just bury your little hand sickle in the side of its unprotected stomach. And it yowls in rage as you do so.
How about Gorger?
It's Gorger's turn, yeah.
That's a 22 for him. And then 11, damn it.
Okay, so as you're hitting it in the side, Gorger moves around slightly while this thing is occupied with your shield and launches himself at its throat.
And 29 CMB.
Well, you needed to beat a 24 because this is a four-legged creature, but you did so. So as he's spinning around with this thing's neck in his mouth, he basically flips it and is now pinning it down on the ground with his jaws.
How close am I to the one that's attacking Lupo?
You are within 30 feet of it. You and Lupo were relatively close together, and they came pouncing at the two of you.
I'm going to throw some debris at it. Different debris, because the other stuff is probably gone now. For a 24 to attack.
Stop.
You're killing him.
He's already dead.
And that'll be for 18 damage.
It explodes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's on the ground, and the piece of rock that you hurl at it rips right through it, just tears it apart. And both of these things dissipate, much like the dream monsters that you had fought previously.
Lupo, do you think when cats dream, they're hunting people through the nightmare lands?
Yes. I think I'm like, ugh, and stop raging.
It's so much thought in that concept. You have to come out of a rage to think about it. Okay, so we still need to get to the asylum and hopefully find three heads.
Well, as you're moving through the ghettos, you both hear, after a little bit of traversing, especially it takes you a while to figure out where you want to go from the crossroads that you reach. You're heading through an area that has buildings that look suspiciously like the ones in the area where you grew up, Delagia. They've got more of that beaver dam, domey style nature to them.
Huh. I like it better here than the other areas.
And you hear something, both of you actually, in halfling.
He went around this way.
Yeah, we're going to find him, and then we're going to tease him some more.
No, I'm going to beat him up is what I'm going to do.
Lupo, I need you to give me a will save. It is against fear.
So I get a +2. Oh, my God. 11?
Oh, no.
Lupo, you are seized by the most heart-rending terror that you've felt in a long time. You know exactly who these three voices belong to. Bilbin Pinklepuff, Plum Chowworthy, and Edwin Tato Skin. Your three biggest bullies from back home in Delagia. And as the two of you look down the street, you can see coming out of an alleyway are gigantic versions of those three. They've got to be at least 9 feet tall.
If this is a dream, we get to kill them.
We can't kill them.
Well, no, we never got to in real life, because it's wrong to kill people in real life, but it's not wrong to kill people in your dreams. How big are they?
They are about ogre size.
So I'd be frightened?
You are frightened. You are going to be frightened until you are either away from these three halflings that bullied you so badly, or something else happens.
Yeah, I don't want to hear. I want to go.
You want to hide, or do you want to run?
I want to hide.
Icky does not want to hide, but if he's going to hide, if Lupo hides, because she's supportive of her cousin.
So go ahead then and give me stealth checks.
Oof, dirty 20. What was that look? Was that the look of a one?
That's the look of John switching out his dice for the fallacy that using a different set of dice are going to improve my butt rolls.
Oh no, Rue, what's that look?
11.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Iffy's like, watch, I'm real good at hiding.
Iffy, you duck down into a corner and you try pulling your cousin in, but one of the halflings sees his feet as you yank him into the little crevice that you're in, and they come thumping down the street towards you. You can hear one of them go,
"Dog boy, where are you, dog boy?"
"Yeah, yeah, we're going to feed you some scraps."
Just kind of whisper something to myself, like, "Say, moon, help me."
Well, as you were saying your prayer to the moon, you see a large figure squat down in front of the little crevice inside of the buildings that you folks had found. And he goes,
"What you doing in there, dog boy?"
Go ahead and give me initiative rolls, please.
Okay, I rolled 76, so I was able to cast Bless on both of us.
I'll give you that before combat starts.
I got a 14 initiative. How are the dice working out for you?
Got a 4.
Oh!
It's the halfling's turns first. Lupo, the one that's by the crevice that you and your cousin hid in with the dogs, tries to pull you out. You do get an attack of opportunity on it.
Yeah, fight him, Lupo.
Yeah, I'm going to use my tickle.
No!
16?
16.
He's big, though. He's so big, and he's holding you.
Well, you go to poke him with the sickle, but it glances off of the studded armband that you remember him wearing all through your youth. And he grips you in his hand and yanks you right out of the hole and throws you.
Oh, no. Wait, would Gorgia get an attack?
He would.
An attack of opportunity?
Correct. Because I assume the two of you are next to one another.
As always.
It's a 29 for him.
Okay.
11 damage.
You hear your childhood nemesis. In this case, the one that had gone to pull you out would have been Clum Chowworthy. Scream as your dog is ravaging his hand. You can actually see Gorger holding on to his hand as he flings you about 10 feet away. You will take 8 points of damage as you come crashing down hard onto the stony ground. And then, unfortunately, you find yourself right at the feet of Edwin Tatoskin.
Oh.
And he stomps on you.
So I'm prone now.
You are. You see the foot coming down, but then it stops as you manage to get your shield up at the last moment. Your shoulder ends up hitting you right in the gut, but fortunately you're armored tough enough that it doesn't do anything other than knock the wind out of you. Iffy, as Clum Chowworthy is trying to shake Gorger off of his hand, you see the last of these ogre halflings come stomping forward, and he's got a big old stick clenched right in his hand. It's Bilbin Pinklepuff. You always hated Bilbin Pinklepuff the most out of any of his bullies. He brings that stick down right on top of your head, and he says,
"Can't defend him now, can you?"
Oh man, I thought my 20 stealth got me through.
I think I made it bad for both of us.
Iffy, you receive a hammering blow against the side of your head and neck that deals 11 points of damage to you as this stick just crunches.
Okay, so I'm going to attack him. Can I do my telekinetic blast at him, or do I need to use Wolf Song?
If you tried to, he would get an attack of opportunity on you because you're making a ranged attack in melee.
Okay, so I'm just going to use Wolf Song. I get 2 attacks on that.
That's correct.
So that's a 14 for the first strike?
Unfortunately, no. It clatters off against the thick leather belt that Bilbin Pinklepuff is wearing.
That would be a 24 for the second one?
Yes.
Oof, and that's only 6 points of damage?
You hack him right across the shin and open up a big bloody wound.
All right, so yes, sir is going to attack. I'm imagining we don't have flanking.
No, not at this point. You are still in a little crook in between two buildings.
So that'll be for a 22 to attack?
That absolutely works.
That is for 13 points of damage.
So your dog leaps up and just starts biting him directly in the chest. You get a trip action with it, too, if you want to try and use that.
CMB, right?
Yeah, that's CMB.
Okay, so that'll be for 24.
Oh, my God. Your dog pulls down so hard, it yanks this giant halfling off of its feet.
And I'm going to taunt him by saying, still getting your ass kicked by little girls, I see.
I'm prone, so I'm going to try to reach up with my tickle and hit the thing attacking me. I am still prone, so it's only a plus 5, but I get plus 1 because he's larger than me.
Well, everything's larger than you at this point, so that makes sense.
Normal house cat larger. You're tight mauler, though.
I'm a tight mauler.
No! You need new dice. Where's your other dice?
That is 14.
Unfortunately, your sickle catches itself right on the thick, well-made leather shoes that he's wearing.
And I'll just turtle underneath.
Damn it, his father was such a good cobbler.
Gorger is still hanging off of the one that had come after you in the first place, Clum Chowworthy.
Yeah, he's going to attack him again. Oh, God. 16, because he's blessed.
Gorger drops to the ground onto his feet. However, as he lurches forward and tries to bite at the shin of Clum Chowworthy, he is not successful.
God.
Clum Chowworthy, looking down at your dog, pulls out a small piece of metal, like a metal pipe, from his pocket and reaches down and tries to smash your dog on the top of his back. He tries to smash Gorger good.
Come on, Lupo, that's got to send you into a rage.
How is this possible? I keep rolling minimum damage. Gorger yelps as he is struck in the back with this piece of iron pipe. He takes 9 points of damage. Seeing you still on the ground, Edwin Tatoskin, who had tried to stomp you previously, reaches down to try and grab you and pick you up again, Lupo.
Do I get an attack opportunity?
You do, but you are prone, and Gorger does not get one as well.
Better. 18? 19. Wait, no, 18. 18.
As he's reaching down, you bury your sickle into his knuckles.
This is a boy.
2 damage.
It was one of those not really very big, but apparently very painful hits because he howls and yanks his arm backwards as he was trying to grab you and pick you up bodily.
I got him right under the fingernail.
Oh, no. Oh. All
right, you can get him. You can fight back.
Iffy, Bilbin Pinklepuff is currently on the ground and tries to swing the big stick that he had hit you with previously, but in a clumsy fashion towards your dog. At the last moment, Yesser manages to leap out of the way, and the stick just slams into the ground with shocking force.
Glad you missed. I'm going to attack the guy on the ground for a 17 plus 12, I believe. Yeah.
You know what? That's more than good enough to hit. You got it with just the die.
I rolled a full damage, so 12 points.
As Bilbin Pinklepuff, still bigger than you laying down, lays there in front of you, you clamber up on top of him and stab him directly in the chest with your blade.
Let's see if you can have a heart.
You try and find it, but then his body discorporates after a moment and drops you to the floor.
See, they're not even real. He'd have bled so much if that had been real, Lupo. Is there someone else close by I can attack?
You wouldn't be able to do so this round because you would have to move to get towards the next one, but you can have Yesser go and attack.
Can I have Yesser flank the one Gorger is fighting with Gorger?
He would need to make a charge attack to get close enough to do that because he's the furthest one away from you.
Okay, yeah, I think it's worth it for him to be flanking.
And he's blessed. Hashtag blessed.
So that's a plus 2 to attack, right?
Correct.
Is that a plus 2 plus 4 for flanking as well?
Well, he only gets plus 2 for flanking normally.
So would that be a plus 4 total for charging? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he only gets the plus 4 when he's flanking with you.
Oh, he rolled so poorly. So that'll be a 17?
It almost looks like he's going to miss as Yesser leaps up off of the ground, but he manages to barely bite the bottom part of Clum Chowworthy's butt cheek.
Nice. Get him, Yesser. And that's for 13 damage.
He rips Clum Chowworthy's butt cheek off.
Nice. Go to move for us now.
Clum Chowworthy topples over before discorporating.
Awesome. I guess that's all our moves.
Correct. At this point, Edwin Tato Skin is the only one left.
Just stomp it on me?
He had been trying to, but now he's in a lot more trouble.
Come on, Edwin. I'm going to make you cry again.
It is your turn, Lupo. Yes.
I'm going to stand up, and then I will attack. Oh, my God.
They got into your head.
I'm real scared of these guys. I rolled a 1, natural.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Then I rolled a 4 for a 13. So I would have critically failed.
As you go to try and swing at him with your sickle, you slip in a puddle of your own blood. You're prone again.
Great.
It's their turn, his turn, I guess.
Yeah, and Edwin Tatoskin looks down at you with just a gleaming and piggish malice in his eyes. And then he tries to stomp you again. As he brings his foot down, it blacks out your vision with how large it is over top of your face. But at the last moment, you feel a ginger set of jaws around your ankles as Gorger yanks you out of the way.
Boy.
Before this massive halfling's foot comes down with a thunderous noise.
Oh, I'm going to attack him. Can Yes Sir and I move to flank him?
You would have to charge to get into a position where you could flank him.
Okay, I'm going to charge him.
Yeah, Yes Sir will have to move, but he'll be circling in front of him at this point as you charge him. Yeah.
And that's for an 21.
Roll for damage.
Nah. And that's for, only 3 points of damage.
You swing your tiny, tiny blade towards this big, big halfling. And you cut him right in the back of the leg, but it is a very shallow cut. You have, however, garnered his attention.
And now Yes Sir's going to attack. He got a 30 to hit.
Okay.
He's so much better than I am. For 14 damage. And we would also like to try and trip.
Go ahead.
Nah, he probably failed on that. So that's only going to be a 13 CMD.
Yeah, so your dog does not manage to bring him down. He does, however, jump up and his head slides directly underneath of the massive shorts that are being worn by Edwin Tatoskin. And you know for a fact, based on the high-pitched, resounding scream that seems to fill the entire ghettos, where your dog bit him.
Oh.
I'm going to point and laugh at him to try and keep him from attacking Lupo again.
I'm going to stand and I'm going to say, go away! I'm going to swing at him. Again. Nope. Then Gorger will attack.
So you futilely end up swinging about a foot short. Still not used to being this tiny.
This is why you get the scythe.
It's an 18.
Ooh.
Wheeling around from where he had pulled you just moments before from out from underneath of the foot of this massive ogre-sized halfling. Gorger reels back and then thunders forwards and charges into it. Roll for your damage.
Ooh, max damage, 15.
He leaps up as the ogre halfling is bent down with the testicular wound it suffered, runs up its back and bites him in the back of the head.
Gorger's such a badass.
So much better than me.
I know, our dogs are like the real MVPs.
Whimpering and crying, Edwin Tatoskin collapses over sideways, and your dog falls to the ground safely as he discorporates.
It was even more fun killing your bullies than it was making them cry all those times. Ippy's gonna come trotting over to make sure that Lugo's okay.
I pull my scarf back around my face.
She's not super happy about that, but she can understand that this was pretty traumatic. We should probably heal up a little.
Yeah, I have a wand of Cure Light Wounds.
Nice, because I'm not feeling great. Yes Sir needs about 10 hit points. I need about 20.
So first one. So let me see. There's a chance these fail.
If it's just a spell trigger object, it shouldn't.
Because it's a command word.
That's a lot. I'm not that punitive as far as being a dungeon master goes.
Okay.
So after expending a number of charges from your wand and furtively looking around in case there's any more ogre-sized halflings coming your way, the two of you see that you're starting to approach a slightly more open area of the ghettos. As you're going down the street, there's a massive fence surrounding most of the area that you're heading towards. It is, however, open in the front, and you can see written in poorly scrawled letters that appear to be made out of red paint on a little sign that's over top of this area. It says, The Scrapyard.
Do we have to go through here to get to the asylum?
You're pretty certain you do.
All right, so we go through.
Yeah.
As you enter this area, you can see that, much like its name, it is a place that is full of different piles of refuse and things that have been thrown away. As the two of you look, however, you notice something that kind of disturbs you a little bit. All the things that have been thrown away in here are children's toys or stuffed animals or other types of childish items. And there is a massive pit in the center of this area that looks to be at least 40, 50 feet deep.
Do you think Timothy's here?
Who?
Timothy, the doll.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
I'm going to keep an eye out for Timothy.
Give me a perception check, then.
Yeah, I'm going to look around as well. Am I shaken or frightened right now?
You have removed the frightened condition because you managed to overcome your childhood bullies.
30-20.
18 perception.
Iffy, you spot it, but Lupo doesn't. And because of that, I want you to give me a will save.
Oh, no.
Is it against fear?
No.
Okay. That would be a 16.
Iffy, you finally realize something. Your cousin does not. You have been in the grips of an illusion. You are not actually the size of a child. The piles of scrap in this yard are much smaller than they had initially appeared, and the pit in the middle of the yard is only about 10 feet around, and you assume it is deep. There is also a shack in this yard, and you can see a figure emerging from it. It is Molonga.
But we're not kids, and the real world's not as cool as the kid world. As usual, when you're not a kid anymore, things aren't as interesting.
But if you did notice one thing out of the corner of your eye that caught your attention more than anything else, it was a shining golden circle on one of the piles, a good distance away from where you're located. And you could see it was studded with some kind of either gemstones or something like that, but it's casting a warm golden light in your vision.
But that's not Timothy. It's not the heads that we need. And it's not a way home. It's just like a nice light.
It's very warm. It reminds you of when your mother would leave a candle on for a little bit for you during the course of the evening when you were spooked.
Okay. I think if he's going to be more focused on trying to get Lupo to realize that they're not really kids, because that seems to be more important.
If he, as you're trying to convince your cousin that he is not, in fact, a child, you see Molonga come creeping out of the little shack, and she spots the two of you. And you can hear her voice, almost like it's been magically amplified across the scrapyard.
Made it this far already, and yet you didn't bring anything back for old Molonga. Guess we're just going to have to take your heads instead, kiddies.
Wait, has it been an hour already?
She holds up the timepiece, and you can see the last grains of it are just slowly starting to run out.
Do I see this now?
You see her, but she is much larger in your vision and scarier looking.
Do you see the gold warm light?
I wouldn't see it now, I don't think.
Can I ask him if he sees it and point it out to him?
It will take an action for you to do so.
Before initiative or during initiative?
During initiative, because that's what we're going to.
Okay.
I know we're not adults, but she made us small.
No, she didn't. It just looks like you're small.
Iffy, I know magic.
I know, but you're under magic. 15 for initiative.
Okay.
I don't think I would know if I was under a magic spell.
If you cast protection from evil on us, would that make it better? Can you do that to yourself?
Oh, I rolled a 18. No, sorry, 17.
Okay, so Lupo, it will actually be you first.
I can't do protection from evil. Can I use a third level spell to cast a second?
I would let you do that.
I'm going to try to do that then. I'm going to put it on all four of us because I thought it was magic circle against evil, not protection. So that was my fault. Oh, I failed.
as you see this huge witch coming out of this big, scary-looking shack, you try to get the words out, but you're just too rattled to do so.
Great. I say, you want our heads? Come get them.
Not even three heads. This lady's dumb.
Iffy, it is your turn.
Are we going to fight her?
Yeah. He looks really angry. He doesn't like being here right now.
I'm torn between attacking her and pointing out the thing I saw.
Couldn't you pull it to you?
Can I pull whatever's creating the light to me?
It's too far away at this point. It's about 150 feet away from you. It's sitting on top of one of the refuse piles in here.
I could point to it and send yes sir after it.
You could, yeah.
I think I'm going to hope it's not something bad and send yes sir after it. I'm going to tell him to fetch and point to the glowy thing.
Okay. As soon as you say fetch and point out the object that you're looking for him to go get, yes sir tears off like a bullet. He's actually, by the time that you see where he's going off to, scrambling up the pile to try and get it.
Such a good boy. I'm going to hit her with something.
Get her.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, you pick up one of the many pieces of toy scrap in here and fling it in her direction.
Yeah, is my size still small or am I off of that?
You are your normal size.
Okay.
So is yes sir.
Okay, cool. Let me take that off of them.
Lupo just doesn't realize it yet. He still sees you as being wee.
She would not lie to him. He's like, but we're small.
No, we're not. I mean, yes, we're halflings, but we're normal sized for ourselves as halflings. So many quantifiers. So yeah, she's going to attack. That's for a 17 plus 12.
You can see an aura of magical energy that this piece of junk that you hurl at her pierces directly through.
And that's for 13 points of damage.
Yeah, and you hammer her in the side with a piece of junk as she staggers sideways. You can see her arcane heads come floating out of the shed behind her. Even as you notice her start lifting her hands up, she says, "Come on, then! Why don't we all play with some toys?" Dozens of toys start rising up from inside the scrapyard. Stuffed teddies, metal soldiers, all sorts of things, and they start lumbering towards the two of you. Lupo, you can see Malonga start murmuring something, and as she's waving her hands, a wave of tiny force missiles leap off of her fingers. Two of them strike you, and three of them strike Gorger.
Man.
Lupo, you're hammered in the stomach for 7 points of damage as these missiles strike you. Meanwhile, the three that all unerringly hit Gorger hit him right up by the left shoulder and leave a big bloody wound there as he also takes 9 points of damage.
Do I know what this was?
I'll let you make a spellcraft check if you want to.
Yes.
During your action as part of it, because it's your turn anyway.
15 was a spellcraft check.
You do not know what spell that was.
Just stupid lady.
Dumb magic is what she used.
And again, I focus hard, and I'm going to try to cast again, Protect from Evil Communal. 34, okay. I'm able to cast it.
Would that hit yes, sir, since he's...
He's too far away.
Okay, that's what I figured.
But, all three of us get... Well, since I don't get yes, sir, I'm not going to get Gorger.
No, you can get Gorger with it. She seems to be focusing on him right now. Unless you're worried that what yes, sir's after is evil. Because I don't think I have anything that like shares spells with me and him.
Yeah, I would go around and touch all three of us. 2 minutes each.
Nice.
Go ahead then and give me another will save, Lupo.
That is an 11.
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
You feel very protected by the moon, but at the same time, you realize your cousin is just being foolish. There is absolutely no way that you could be...
Wait.
Is this like when you used to play Giants, Iffy?
Yeah, it was a 13 because I forgot to add the plus 2 from protection removal.
Okay, still does not beat it, unfortunately. Still in the same position you were at before. And what is Gorger doing?
He's going to attack the nearest moving object.
Okay, so there is a teddy bear lurching its way with its stuffing hanging out towards you. It is about the size of a man compared to you.
He's going to get it. I say, get!
Oh, maybe those dice are soaked in sadness right now.
But I hate this place.
What'd you get?
A 3. So that's 14.
Gorger tries to snap down on this plush bear, but at the last moment, it just bops him real hard on the nose with one of its limbs and shocks him as he reels back for a second.
Great. I imagine plushies are a luxury, so it's not like those are normal dog toys. Our dogs just don't understand.
Yeah.
How's Yesser doing?
Yesser has retrieved the item and is running back to you with it in his mouth.
Cool. Good boy. Can I attack her without getting an attack of opportunity on me?
Correct. At this point, they still haven't closed in on you yet as far as all the toys surrounding you, but they are moving towards you and you know that you will be surrounded next round.
Can I make sure that I'm in a spot where if I am surrounded, that means Lupo and I are flanking something, at least one of them. I want to make sure if they get behind my back, I want my back to also be towards Lupo, you know?
You can move over to where your cousin's at. Yeah, that'll take your move action for the turn, but...
Okay, and then I'm going to attack with telekinesis.
Okay, you're going to have to use the extended blast again.
So I'll have 1 point of burn. And that'll give me a second one after I'm done, right?
Mm-hmm. And that should improve your attack by one and damage by two with your blast as well. Because as you take burn, you gain power over time as you're infusing yourself more and more with etheric energy.
So I'll take a point of non-lethal damage at this point, right?
If you're a third level kineticist, then it'll be 3 points of damage.
I'm fourth level kineticist.
Okay, so it'll be 4 points of non-lethal damage per point of burn.
So yeah, I'm going to do another one to try and hit her.
You'll actually do +2 to hit and +4 to damage with the amount of burn that you've accrued thus far because of your elemental overflow.
Okay, so +2 to hit, you said?
Yes.
So that's a 15 plus.
You had +12 before, so I'm assuming this is a +14 this time, right?
Yeah, and you said that's an extra +2 to my damage?
+4.
+4? Okay. That's 15 damage.
You hit Malaga a second time, and this one nearly knocks her off of her feet as she's slammed with it. And she curses and points specifically at you, Iffy.
Me? I didn't even do anything. She's so mad for no reason.
Before her animated legions of stuffed animals and other toys come lurching towards you, you see her unleash a massive stroke of lightning that cuts through the air and flies directly towards you. Iffy, I need you to give me a reflex save.
Is there a chance my wolf was in the way?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a dirty 20.
So you will take half damage.
Okay. So many dice. I hope they're all ones.
You take 13 points of damage as a bolt of lightning slams into your torso and passes through your back.
That's so mean!
Then the toys come and start surrounding you. At this point, you have 3 toys that crawl up towards you. One is like a broken spring toy, and the other two are stuffed animals.
Why is it always dolls with us?
Right?
If you have 2 stuffed animals... As they're swinging their little arms towards you, you can see that almost like nails, little pieces of glass and broken metal come popping out of their fur as these two scratch you on your legs and ankles. You take 2 points of damage from the tiny slashing and stabbing wounds that they inflict on your ankles.
Nice.
Lupo, you have 2 that come running after you. They're both toy soldiers, so they're stabbing at you with the bayonets on the end of rifles. They clatter helplessly against your armor.
Is there a way for me to get in flanking with Iffy?
You can take a 5-foot step. It will result in you being flanked by a pair of toys, but you will be flanking one of the toys she is fighting, too.
Before I 5-foot adjust, I'm going to try to get Bless out. 23, so yes, I make it. Then I'll 5-foot adjust, so that now we all have Bless and Protect from Evil.
Okay, Buff City. And I want you to give me another will save, please. Especially as you are starting to be bathed by the golden light of whatever this circle thing is that Yesser is carrying closer and closer towards the two of you.
I got a 25.
Lupo, you suddenly realize your cousin was right the entire time.
He never would lie to you.
I knew you were right.
Yeah, cousin powder.
And you're struck by a moment of vertigo as you realize that you've been this way the entire time.
Gorger is going to just keep harrying the one creature.
Gorger is much larger than this stuffed animal at this point now, just hulking over it.
The dogs had to have been so confused by our behavior.
17?
Gorger grabs it in his teeth and starts shaking his head violently as he thrashes this thing around.
12.
You can see one of its limbs flies off as he's tearing it and a bunch of stuffing's coming out, but he hasn't fully destroyed it yet. You can make a trip check for him, oh, too. Guaranteed he's going to trip this thing. He's two size categories larger.
Oh, yeah, that's a 18 on the die, so a 30.
Yeah, that's like getting your leg swept by like a giant. You're just going down. So he gets it on the ground and is slamming it with his head currently.
Where is Yesser with the object?
Yesser loops around the back to avoid the toys that are coming towards you, and he pushes the object up towards you. You realize it's some kind of a crest, and you can see that it's got holes in it to where it looks like it could work either as a belt buckle or as a medallion of some sort. It is a golden crest with four inset moonstone wolves that are all walking toward the cave.
Can I tell him to drop it so Lupo can take a look at it before one of us touches it? Because my instinct is to just shove it in my shirt.
He goes, woo, and holds on to it for a while. He lets go with his mouth like a dog does when they're dropping something reluctantly.
Yeah, I guess I'll try and take it from him then.
Take it.
As you take it from him, a wave of warm golden energy spreads out and knocks over some of the stuffed animals and toys.
Cool. So I'm just going to keep a hold of it, I guess. So the ones surrounding me are on the ground.
The ones that were directly around you, yes, get knocked over with a wave of this golden energy. And you can hear Malonga hiss as you're doing this.
Cool. So I can attack her without an attack of opportunity, right? Because they're all on the ground?
They would get them, but they're prone, so they have big penalties to attack. They'd all be attacking you on a -1.
How many attacks of opportunity would that be?
4.
Can't you draw energy to not get burned?
She can do that, but it takes a move action or more to do.
Gather power?
Yeah.
Gather power. Yeah.
It takes a full round.
No, you can gather it as a move action to reduce 1 point of burn.
Oh, then yeah, I guess I'll do that since I'm not moving.
So you start pulling strands of ambient etheric energy into yourself from the environment. Your feet slightly lift off of the ground for a moment as you do so.
And that's for a 21 attack.
You pick one of the fallen tin soldiers up and actually fling it towards her. And she howls as this one strikes. And you can see it does serious damage when it hits her in the side of her left shoulder.
I wonder if that's because I'm holding this thing.
Well, you also see the heads behind her are spinning in a spiral. And she steps backwards and vanishes through it.
Hey, what happens to the toys? Stop attacking us?
They fall inert, and as she's disappearing, she says, I'm going to find you someday.
Yeah.
Promise.
So, Lubo, is this magic? She holds out the glowing crest.
I'm going to detect magic on it and try to read the spell stuff.
And I'm going to be telling Yesser what a good boy he was, because that had to be hard for him to not protect me.
14 spellcraft to figure out what it is.
Lupo, you don't know what this is, but a quick casting of Detect Magic tells you it is a potent item. It possesses potent evocation, conjuration, and enchantment magics upon it.
Is it okay that I'm holding it?
Yeah.
Should I put it on like a string around my neck? Because I was just going to kind of shove it in my shirt and then tuck my shirt in so that it just kind of like had a big pocket of my top to hold it in.
I'll pull out one of my healer's kit and pull a bandage out from it and like thread it.
I guess I'll put it on as a necklace. Unless you want to wear it as a necklace. If it's evil, I'm already tainted, so.
Yes, we got it. So it's yours.
Okay, if it turns out to be, like, good for you, we'll just give it to you instead.
Iffy, as you lace this up around your neck.
Yeah.
You feel, for just a brief moment, like you're back in Delagia, running with the packs of wolves out in the forest. You've never felt freer.
I'm going to kind of be like, it feels like home.
I'm watching them. Wait a second.
You're like, take it off.
I was like, yeah, I didn't sense evil from it, so I'm like, I feel like it's fine.
And the two of you see that a portion of the back fenced-in wall of the scrapyard starts melting away. And you see off in the distance, it looks like there's a decent amount of walk. And then well off in the distance, a big building that you can tell is the asylum.
Do you think this lady's going to give me nightmares forever now?
I mean, can she?
I mean, nothing she's done has been scary so far, but like maybe she'll think of something scary. Like,
if we do, we know how to get back here, right?
Yeah, I guess so. We could just get back here and kick her ass. So yeah, we're going to go to the asylum.
As you start heading to go across the scrapyard, you hear from behind you, oi, 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 oi.
Hey, I'm going to turn around and be like, look what I found, and hold up my medallion.
She seems a little surprised as you notice that talks to herself as well as the Illhausens are gathered there. And as she comes closer and looks at it, she says, oi, 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 this little thought found a piece of dream.
What?
A what?
She motions towards it for a bit. She sniffs it, and then she licks it a couple of times. Oh, yeah, right, right. Piece of dream.
Oh.
What's it do?
I mean, I can try and talk to the spirit inside of it if you want me to.
With the spirit mind?
I'd love to see that.
You hear her start murmuring, and it's the same language that those gray creatures have used previously, but it's a much more sing-songy tone, almost like a lullaby. After a short while, she hands it back over to you, Iffy, and she says,
oi, 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 it's a watchful guardian spirit is what it is.
It feels like home.
Oh, it is a home.
And she motions to take it back from you for a moment as you are all walking out of the scrapyard and more towards the asylum. And she says another phrase in this language that she's using. She strokes one of the wolves. And you see the little piece of inset moonstone disappears. And as it does so, an opaque field of force from this medallion forms what you would say almost looks like a tiny little cave entrance.
Oh.
And she motions down to it. She gets down on her hands and knees, and she motions through the entrance. She says,
here's a home right in there.
Can I put the home back on and take it off? That's so cool.
It's stuck here right now. You folks look like you might need to rest anyway.
Yeah. Is it big enough that the Illhausen family can come in too? Because I don't want to leave them unprotected.
She laughs a little bit, and she starts crawling in through the opening.
I'll crawl in.
I'm going to go after her. She's got my medallion.
As you go inside, you realize this is almost like an igloo-shaped kind of sphere.
Like a beaver dam, even?
Close to that. It's vaguely reminiscent of the beaver dams in Delagia. But it's just a slightly brownish color of force that it's constructed out of. As you move inside of it, it's got a tremendously pleasant temperature. It's about 70 degrees.
I'm going to go out and I'm going to wave in Dr. Illhausen and Erasmus and his wife. I'm going to be like, come on, guys, it's safe in here.
As you wave them in, there's more than enough space inside of here for you all to sit very comfortably within it.
I have my back against Gorger.
Well, she whispers something else to it, and a dim illumination appears on the inside of this hemisphere. You can see out in every direction from the inside of it.
Wait, I know what this is.
Go ahead and give me a spellcraft check.
If something bad happens to me, and you guys are still stuck here, I'm going to tell Dr. Illhausen, make sure you grab this thing, because it seems like it'd be really helpful for your family.
Well, may we pray that that is not part of what happens.
Well, yeah, because I'd hate to die here. This place is not the best.
The worst.
I mean, we haven't been to Falcovnia yet.
And I'll even, since you have time, I'll let you take 10 on that check if you want to.
I got an 18, but that's a 25.
Yeah. You know that this is a tiny hut spell.
Oh.
Is that what that thing has, or is it got a lot of spells on it?
Yeah, could you tell us how to activate it?
She starts saying something in the foreign language that she had spoken before, and she said,
oh, that's right. You don't understand, do you?
No, but I can always repeat things I don't understand. I've done it before.
She sits and takes quite a while to enunciate syllable by syllable what she said to it. But you realize she's figured out what this object can do, or as she calls it, a spirit. It seems like maybe a combination of both, because even though it looks like golden moonstone, it looks like it was worked by an intelligent being, but not necessarily someone who's a mortal craftsman.
I would have liked it anyway, because of the wolves and the moonstone.
I'll tell you what this is out of character. We will assume at this point that with her information, you can glean what this item is. This is known as the Seal of the Watchful Guardian.
Oh.
Up to 4 times per week, it can generate a tiny HUD effect cast at 6th level proficiency. Twice per week, it can be used to summon D3 blink dogs as per the summon monster spell. I believe it would be summon monster 4. And it gives its wearer a +2 bonus to will saves.
Oh, yeah, I want you to have this.
Okay, cool.
Like a throat or like a belt?
Yeah, I'll wear it as like a necklace, I guess.
Yeah, it's got 2 slots. It can be either used at the throat slot or at the belt slot.
Okay.
Depending on how you string it up. As you're all taking a rest inside of there, after a while, Lupo, while you're resting and doing your meditations, Talkster herself comes over to you and she says,
"You knew you had someone following you."
"We did?"
"Just you."
She motions and she points to the air surrounding you.
"You got a friendly."
"What do you mean?"
"Spirit's been following you for a while."
"But why?
Do I know what like a friendly spirit would be in this plane? Like,
give me a knowledge of the planes check."
"Oh, 29.
You know that although many of the spirits that are here, at least according to the Aber shamans, are corrupted and turned more towards nightmares, there are actual dream spirits located in the nightmare lands as well. That's what she appears to be referring to.
"Well, we're happy to have them along if they want to help. Or just watch, I guess. Not like we can say no."
You see her reach up into her furs and strange skins, and she pulls out a small box. Inside, there's a number of what look like shovel-headed style blades and a couple of pots of what appear to be pigment.
"He wants to come with you."
"Okay. Do we just put it in the box, or can it just follow us?"
She shakes her head with a very serious look on it, and she starts motioning towards the tattoos that she has.
Oh,
you tattoo us.
"Yeah.
Him.
You, Lupo, you want a tattoo?"
"Yeah."
"Okay. I'll hold your hand in case it hurts."
She says, "Oh, it's going to hurt tremendously, but we can help that afterwards."
"I have a healer's kit, so there's probably something in there to help."
"Unless hurting's part of the process. But again, I'll hold your hand and you can squeeze whenever it hurts you and we'll get through this. Like having a baby." Giving birth to a little spirit baby. Tattoo.
Lupo.
"Yes.
The process takes 6 hours, and it is tremendously painful, to the point where she casts several spells during it to heal you. I need you to give me a fortitude save."
"Oh. Of course you would fail me. 10.
"Oh."
As she finishes, she clucks her tongue, and she says,
"Oh, something happened. It went wrong."
"Oh, no.
You gotta retry?"
She shakes her head again. She says, "Can't do it. It was a good spirit, though, and it liked you." You have basically what looks like it had been a tattoo of a lizard, but you watch as the different pigments drain out from it, and it ends up looking just like a black and white image of a lizard that's tattooed on you.
"Oh.
It's in you, but it didn't take quite right, because I don't know what that means."
"Jackson is going to be so glad you got a tattoo and not me."
What does the situation with Lupo's spirit tattoo mean? Are the Cthulhu cousins ready to face whatever horrors are waiting for them in the Agardis Asylum? And will they manage to get home even if they're successful in penetrating it? Find out the answers to some of these questions and more on the Season 1 finale episode of Ravenloft, Tiny Terrors. Ravenloft is a registered trademark owned by Wizards of the Coast, Incorporated. The Pathfinder role-playing game is trademark of Paizo, Incorporated. Our theme song, Spooky Halloween Trailer, was composed by Toy Invention and is used under a commercial license that includes sync licensing. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always email us at realplaygamespodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at @realplaypod. If you'd like to support the show, please visit our Patreon at www.patreon.com/realplaygamespod and get early and exclusive content in exchange for helping us pay the rent.